The Sam LaPrade Show continues on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Well, certainly when I look on social media, a lot of people in my network announce that they're getting a puppy or a dog, and a lot of those dogs are coming from other countries. But there's been some news that's going to change all that. We wanted to speak with Alicia Paul today and Kirsten Dale. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Both of you are representing the Canadian Board for Dogs and Cats of the Dominican Republic. Alicia, tell us a little bit about this organization.
So DCDR was funded back in 2013. Our main goal was to coordinate animal welfare efforts to help the animals of DR. Our mission was basically to significantly improve the health and well-being of the dogs and the cats living there. There's major volunteer efforts to include spay and neuter clinics. And actually, as of June 9th this year, DCDR has proudly spayed and neutered over 8,000 animals. As we know, animals have many litters of babies in 1 year, so this truly makes a huge difference for the island. DCDR also provides emergency vet services, and volunteers do outreach programs in local communities weekly to ensure these animals are provided with flea and tick medicine. There's no charge for the locals. And as a volunteer who has personally assisted with this program before, I can tell you it's so rewarding to see how grateful they are for our help.
Well, that's amazing. And Kirsten, why the Dominican Republic? What makes this an area where you felt that this work had to be done?
I think that the Dominican Republic is like many countries that have been affected by the recent ruling that we'll talk about in a minute. It's a country where animal welfare has not necessarily been a top of mind priority, but in the last 10, 15 years, individuals like ourselves from Canada and all over the world have really made an effort to get a hold of the overpopulation there, which has really caused a detrimental impact to the way of life for these animals. So, I mean, whether it's Dominican or whether it's Egypt or perhaps anywhere that anyone has kind of had a personal passion for, it's about, I think, just the animal welfare mission. It doesn't matter where it is in the world. That's something that we're passionate about.
So Alicia, Kirsten sort of alluded to a ban that's been put into place. My understanding, it is to take effect on September the 28th. Walk us through what this ban means, Alicia.
This ban, like I'll let Kirsten reiterate as well, but this ban basically will end rescue all over the world, because without us being able to fly dogs into Canada to their forever families, they will be stuck living in shelters and on the street. And a lot of our money that is able to run our programs in the Dominican is created from adoptions. So things like providing flea and tick medicine to street animals and doing monthly spay and neuter clinics to help the locals, that money will eventually fade away, which in turn is going to create thousands of more babies on the streets. And so it's actually just detrimental to rescues all over, like Kirsten said, Egypt, Cuba. Like, I have someone from Qatar, Afghanistan, who's reached out to me saying, like, this is going to be the end of them if we can't overturn this.
And Kirsten, who put the ban in place?
So it's a recent ruling from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, known as the CFIA for short. Basically, they've announced this measure. They're citing it as a means of protecting Canadians, but essentially what they're doing is putting a complete ban on all commercial dogs being imported from 100 countries around the world. And their definition of commercial dogs is a very broad definition. So they're classifying commercial breeders, people doing medical research on animals, people doing animal fostering from humanitarian organizations. They're classifying it all the same. So basically any animal that's being imported for humanitarian purposes is not classified separately. They're lumped in with all of these. And the CFI's decision, like Alicia said, is going to cripple the rescue efforts, because with international rescue, your primary focus is to fix and make healthy all of the stray animals, and gradually the population decreases. In most situations, animals can be fixed and returned to a home or a community that cares for them and feeds them. But in some cases, we have puppies that were born before their parents could be fixed, or animals that are found injured. These animals ultimately need a home. And this is where our international adoptions come into play. Homes are found for these animals in countries like Canada, and that makes room for them at the shelters on our islands and anywhere else in the world that does similar things. And the funds from those adoptions go back into the ongoing effort to eradicate the stray dog breeding. So it's kind of a cycle of recycling the funds into rescue that is going to be shut off now.
And was this decision a surprise to you, Alicia?
Oh, it was a huge surprise. I think I speak for many people when it was disheartening to hear that they made this ban come into place and they put us in the same umbrella with all the horrible backyard breeders that have been bringing in dogs during COVID, especially trying to, you know, sell puppies and not do it the right way. And it's honestly mind-boggling that we're in the same category as them. And I understand both sides of the spectrum, that there is a lot of bad people, but when it comes to animal rescue, there is a lot of good, and a lot of good that is created from what we do.
I mean, you're a small organization, Kirsten. Are other organizations helping to advocate to overturn this? What's the effort like?
Absolutely. As far as I know, there's kind of a group effort that is building right now for different welfare organizations that are based out of these 100 countries around the world. And I mean, there's a lot of countries on this list. Like Ukraine is on the list. Animals that have been left behind by people that have had to flee to Canada, and they're right now being housed in shelters until they can come to Canada, they're not allowed to come. Like it's a very broad sweeping impact. So there is a large petition being started. I know people sometimes say petitions don't work, but you've got to put your voice out there somewhere. And people are writing to their local member of parliament and basically just trying to reach out to as many people as possible to spread the awareness about what this is going to do. Mm-hmm. An outright ban is not the answer. We need to be looking for regulation to the rescue industry. Make sure that animals coming into the country are healthy, but don't put an absolute ban on bringing animals into the country, because you are effectively crippling animal welfare rescue missions around the world.
Wow. And when I think, Alicia, about, you know, obviously you're trying to raise money and those adoptions have been a part of that, how many dogs has this organization, Dogs and Cats of the Dominican Republic, brought to Canada to be adopted by their forever families?
I can't speak on the exact number because I've only been a part of this amazing organization since 2019, but I can tell you it's been thousands.
Wow.
Since 2019, since I've joined, I can say I know of at least 400.
Wow.
And that's just one organization. So if you take into consideration of all of the 100 countries listed, you know, we have truly made such an impact. And you know, I'll reiterate again, it's not even just about adopting them. It's about having the funds to assist the Dominican Republic itself and to be able to stop the cycle of babies after babies, because as we know, a cat can have 5 litters a year. Mm-hmm. So if we don't have these spay and neuter clinics provided, this will just continue to get worse. Mm-hmm. And we have many people who have resided in Dominican Republic for years, and they said the effect that, you know, the positive effect that this organization has created and the amount of dogs and cats that are not running wild in this country now because of what we've done has been such a positive impact.
And I think, Alicia and Kirsten, many people think about the Dominican Republic as a place to go and vacation, and, you know, it's all sort of fun and games. But the reality is, if you've ever gone to the Dominican and you've gone off resort, you know of the poverty there, and you see the animals that you're talking about, you know, walking on the roads and just kind of everywhere. It is a bit startling, I think, for Canadians when we don't see that here. So I appreciate all the good work you're doing and bringing this to light for us today. Definitely keep in touch with us, okay, if there's any updates.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us as well.
It's certainly my pleasure. Alicia Paul joining us. Kirsten Dale, Canadian Board for Dogs and Cats of the Dominican Republic. Really interesting story there. When we come back, we're heading to Montreal. Our very own Ian Mendez from The Athletic is going to join us as he prepares for the draft. Stay with us on City News.
Sam LaPrade will be right back on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.